At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Okay, you're very welcome back to The Last Word. Danny McConnell of The Business Post sitting in for Matt. This evening now it's time for The Last Word on the environment. We're joined, as always, with, by John Gibbons. John, good evening to you.
Good evening, Danny.
Listen, John, obviously the weather has dominated the news over the last 48 hours or so. We've heard the Taoiseach come out today and basically say, you know, we need better and more, we need complex flooding schemes, but yet they get delayed by objections, etc. That, and ultimately, livelihoods must be the priority. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, clearly work needs to be done. There's no question about this. I suppose the framework in which a lot of our flood protection is mounted is legislation, Danny, that goes back to 1945. And this is the arterial drainage legislation under which the Office of Public Works, or the OPW, operates. Now, that was principally designed back in the 1940s to create, to drain fields and create more farmland. And at the time, the idea was that by draining land, you would create more farmland, and that would be good for everybody. Now, obviously, that didn't take account of climate change. It didn't take account of intense precipitation, as we're now seeing. So really, we're dealing to some extent with legislation that is way, way out of date. Mm. And the concept, Danny, of arterial drainage is to treat our waterways as a sort of a sewer to simply run water around. That's why, for example, say on yesterday's programme, there were calls for dredging of rivers as if this is going to solve the problem. Now, there is an idea out there that if you dredge a river, you create more space, and therefore that alleviates flooding. The evidence suggests the exact opposite. When you dredge rivers, first of all, you destroy the vegetation on the side of the rivers. You also destroy the riverbeds and obviously all the aquatic life therein. And all it does is it turns the river from a slow-moving river into a fast-moving drain, and it actually accentuates flooding problems. So it is very important. We keep hearing these things, and I think the reason that it's so important to take a step back when we're trying to discuss issues like flooding is that, you know, everybody piles in on top of this issue when there's a crisis like there is this week. But I guarantee you, by next week, as soon as the flood water abates, it gets forgotten about again. So we need to get much more. We need to think, Danny, about the reasons why we have these problems. So briefly, right, we have severely degraded uplands in Ireland. Now, most of our rivers where they cause problems are where they intersect with towns and villages. The towns and villages tend to be in the valleys and the lowlands. When we degrade uplands, we're creating conditions that is causing water to cascade off our mountains and our hills and to rush down the rivers. Then that is made even worse when we dredge those rivers. And eventually, the issue really here is that we need to create what is called room for the river. Mm. We've got to go back to the old idea, Danny, of floodplains. I mean, once upon a time, certainly when I was learning about this in geography class in school many years ago, we used to have things in Ireland like oxbow lakes and meanders. The idea was that rivers should expand naturally and they should bend as they slow. That has the effect of absorbing excess rainfall. Also, for example, intact, healthy boglands are fantastic at sponges at soaking up excess water.
But John, the point that I was going to ask you, like the Taoiseach was making the point that time and time again, when proposed flood schemes have been, you know, brought forward, they get objected to. So the question, I suppose, from your perspective, do you accept the view that these objections are slowing things down and causing, or at least participating in the scale of problems that towns like Enniscorthy had this week?
Okay, there's two types of engineering that we need to look at when we're dealing with flooding. And of course, the thing to understand with flooding is that it's becoming a bigger, more consistent issue. So the flooding that we had last year, this year will be worse, next year, the year after will be worse again. So we have to stop having these knee-jerk reactions where politicians come on the radio and say, you know, it's down to the objectors, if only they let us do X, Y, and Z. What we need, in fact, is a combination of hard engineering. And I'll give you an example. In my hometown of Kilkenny City, that used to be regularly flooded, and obviously a lot of high value infrastructure there. There was works were done that allowed that reduced flooding in the city areas, and that has been successful. However, it does push the water further down the river, mm-hmm. and causes flooding conditions. So that's hard engineering, Danny, and that of course can be done in certain locations in certain situations. But what we need and what we never hear talked about from politicians in Ireland is the need for soft solutions. So, for example, the thing I described as room for the river. And the Dutch, for example, who are absolute experts at managing floods. I mean, 2/3 of the population of Holland are living in flood risk zones. They have lived with flooding risk for hundreds of years. Yeah. So we should look at their expertise. And what they have learned, Danny, is that you need to make room for the river. They have, for example, deliberately bought back land from farmers and set up floodplains, and they've found that this is vastly more effective and to allow the river to flood naturally instead of trying to throw concrete at every problem.
And those floodplains, I mean, I suppose, like, I live in Dublin city centre, I live in Drumcondra, yeah. and, you know, the kind of Talca flooding was a regular enough occurrence, you know, and even this week you could see it kind of running high. Like, are these floodplains having to be in urban areas, or are these the ones that are out, that take the pressure off upstream and therefore not happen kind of downstream? Or, like, because I suppose one of the big complaints we've heard since the crash is that the huge number of houses built on floodplains that can't get flood insurance.
That's absolutely right. We know, for example, that there's about 100,000 houses in Ireland, 100,000, which is a huge number of houses, which are effectively uninsurable from a flooding point of view. And a lot of the responsibility for that comes down to local authorities and local councillors who have made terrible rezoning decisions and overrode in many cases their engineers and allowed the zoning in flood-prone areas. And that obviously is a huge problem. Now, to return to Dublin briefly, Dublin obviously is in the foothills of the Dublin Mountains. The Dublin Mountains into the Wicklow Mountains are heavily degraded, overgrazed by a combination of deer and sheep. We have burning in the Dublin Mountains. And what that means is that water that should be being absorbed by the Dublin Mountains and coming slowly into the city, when we get severe rainfall on sodden surfaces, as we have at the moment, that water is thundering down. And we see that, for example, in the Dodder, huge amounts of water that you know, because Dublin is at the foot of the Dublin Mountains and therefore in the Wicklow Mountains, and is therefore, it's exactly what I described. It's highly vulnerable. And the solutions, Danny, we can't just turn everything into concrete canals. Mm. We have to look upriver, and we have to look at people like the Dutch who are experts in this. And I think we need to get some of those county councillors, instead of rezoning, maybe get them on over to Holland to actually talk to engineers who have figured out a way of working with nature rather than simply trying to hammer nature into compliance. Because what we find is nature will always have the last word. Mm. And increasingly, nature is overwhelming our best efforts to control it. We have to work with nature. We have to respect nature. And if that means, for example, paying farmers to allow their lands to flood, well, that's a far better investment of money than spending tens of millions on concrete solutions, which in many cases will become defunct. And I think it's really important to stress that all of this, of course, is happening against a backdrop of climate change. That means, for example, over the last 30 years in Ireland, we're getting about 7% more rainfall than the historical norm. That is an incredible amount. Rainfall patterns are also changing. We're getting more intense deluges, and we're getting longer locking patterns of continuous rainy conditions like we're seeing at the moment. So are not unexpected, Danny. We have to stop pretending that we can't see these things coming.
Okay, I'd get your response to a text from a listener here. It says, the River Cashin we have flowing out to sea near Ballybunion is choked up with thousands of tons of sand, no vegetation, and it should have been dredged years ago. What's your response to that?
Again, this is back to treating rivers as sewers. You know, like, this is, we need to listen to the experts here. And with the greatest of respect to your listener, unless they're an ecologist or a hydrologist, these are the people we need to listen to, especially hydrological experts. And they are more or less saying, that there are certain conditions, certain circumstances where dredging makes sense. But in most cases, dredging is harmful to aquatic life. It's harmful to vegetation on the shore, and it simply increases the velocity of water flowing through those rivers. We need to think beyond having an excavator as our immediate knee-jerk solution to every crisis. And that's more of it, I'm afraid.
And in terms of, because Alan O'Reilly was just making this point earlier on, that we had essentially the guts of a month's or half a month's rainfall in 48 hours. I mean, is that the sort of intense or increasingly intense kind of deluge we're likely to see, what you're saying, on foot of climate change?
Absolutely. I mean, we're getting, if you like, weather on steroids. We're getting more intense heat waves, we're getting longer drought periods, and we're getting far more intense flooding events, and particularly stalled weather patterns, where we simply get the same thing for days and in some cases weeks at a time. We saw that even 2 years ago, where we had from October to the following April continuous rainfall to the extent, for example, that farmers weren't able to get their cattle back onto the land for several months later than usual, which in turn triggered a fodder crisis. So all these crises are connected. And I suppose we really need to accept the fact that this is, to use that phrase, the new normal. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to work on the assumption that what we're seeing this month is not abnormal.
Okay.
It's unfortunately is completely normal in the current situation. Yeah.
Okay. Before we wrap up, John, I wanted to talk to you about this report that I think was in the Times about ministers, UK ministers, suppressing a report after intelligence chiefs warned that climate change could drive mass migration to Britain and trigger a nuclear war in Asia.
That's right. Yeah, this is the so-called National Security Assessment. It was completed, Danny, last October, and it only became aware or published to the public in the last few days because of an FOI request. Apparently, Downing Street regarded the findings as, quote, too negative, right? But I mean, it's a bit of a horror show. They're saying, for example, that the world is already experiencing impacts, climate-related impacts, including crop failures, intensified natural disasters, infectious disease outbreaks. They said these threats will increase with the degradation and intensity with collapse. And they said the results are geopolitical and economic instability, increased conflict and competition for resources. The one that you alluded to there was actually redacted from that version. And that is this is not tree huggers putting this report out. This is produced by the main agencies, including MI5 and MI6 in the UK. So this is direct feed to the British government. And one of the things that they're flagging is the very real risk of a nuclear conflict between China, India and Pakistan, because, of course, the Himalayan ice pack is melting more quickly than any other in the world. Mm. And about 2 billion people depend for their lives and their livelihood on the Himalayan ice pack. And that it's the main water source for regions of those three countries. And as that melts, we're looking, you know, over the coming decades into water wars. I suppose water wars are likely to become what the oil wars were of the 20th century. We can expect conflicts over natural resources like water and food. And that's the other thing, Danny, that the report flagged, is that they said that the UK cannot, animal farming, they said, at current levels in the UK is unsustainable without imports, and that the UK doesn't have enough land to feed its population and rear livestock. Now, could copy and paste that, by the way, directly into Ireland. We have exactly the same problem here. We can either feed our livestock or we can feed our population, but we can't do both.
Well, John, we could actually, genuinely, I could talk about this for another half an hour, but unfortunately we are out of time. But John Gibbons, as always, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.